Okie doke. We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing. If you would pray for us, Will, please, and open the service.
Dear Father, thank you for being so good to us. Thank you all for number. Give us a blessing tonight, Lord, by our praises, our supplications, and our prayers, and our pleas, Lord, and our thoughts to you, holy, acceptable, and our holy sight, Lord. And beautiful to keep us. Give us a touch of spirit, Lord. Choose us more in line with thee and thy word, through the spoken Bible, Lord, and through the preaching as well, Lord. We also want Mrs. Bradley, Lord, to keep it well. Lord, for Rachel, Lord, bring the church at the point of time as well, Lord. Lord, Stephen, Mrs. Bradley, Lord, for many children, Lord. Heal the many apart from his own life, cancer, to give more grace as well, Lord. We have patience and patience, help Steve, Lord, and keep Stephen well apart, Lord. Give more patience and help her many apart from as well, Lord. Lord, also pray for Father Paul, Lord, wherever he is, fill the many trouble, keep Stephen well, Lord. And bring it back safely and securely back to you, us as well, Lord. Also, with Frank, Lord, with my own Lord, keep him safe and well, Lord. Have a close work for you, Lord. And bless him mighty powerfully as well, Lord. And help him in his work as well, Lord. Also, with John Bradfield, help him mighty powerfully, give him strength, Lord. Give him day by day, Lord, and his daily walk for you. Also, with our daily walk, Lord, for each and one of us, Lord, and keep us safe and well, Lord. We want to come to live in the gospel, Lord. And Lord, give us truly tune in with thee, Lord.
Amen. We're in the wee hymn books. If you'd like to go to 424, it's not, it's called O Come All Ye Faithful. Not strictly speaking for me at any rate, a Christmassy song, but I do like it. So this is my pick for this evening, O Come All Ye Faithful, hymn number 420. Books now, so if you would like to take them, turn there to number 11. will stand and sing Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise, hymn number 11. And then after that, we will have Will come up and read for us. Amen. Let's make a joyful noise.
Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry out her, that her warfare is accomplished. That her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that cried from the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in this desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry. He said, what shall I cry? All flat, all flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord blow upon it. Surely the people is grass. Grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, thou bringest good tidings. Get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, thou bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice of strength, lift up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him, and behold, his reward is for him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs of his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. He hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and made it out heaven the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in the measure, and weighed the mountains and scales, and the hills in the balance. He hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath told him. With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the idols as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations perform Ara as an offering, and they are counted to him less than offering and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God, or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melted from grave image, and the goldsmith spread it over with gold, and cast it silver chains. So that is so, he that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation, chooseth a tree that will not uprot. He taketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a grave image, and shall not be moved. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Have not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the heavens thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing, he maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he also shall blow upon them, and shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken him? Sir, to whom will ye liken me? Or shall I be both set to the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who have created these things that bringeth out their host for number? He calleth them all by name of the greatness of his power, of his might. For that he is strong in power, that will fail. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, who created things of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He hath given power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. He shall run, not be weary, and he shall walk, not be faint. Amen.
Thank you. That last verse that Will read there is a promise to you that if you wait in the Lord, you'll renew your strength, you'll mount up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. Do things God's way. Amen. Thank you for that. Just a reminder about the little orange prayer list, please. And the only extras on it are some thanks for the good weather and the tracking. And I think Ling said, was it Ling? No trouble? Everything going smoothly. We did have a good morning yesterday morning whenever we were, I think we got the last few good hours in the day yesterday, or on the week yesterday. And we had, I must actually put down, a man by the name of Dara.
Dara.
Or was it?
Darren. Dara. He's Irish.
So we'll put that down as AGH. And Maureen.
They're on the contacts.
Oh, you got them there already, didn't you?
You told me yesterday.
Just confirm. Let's see. Oh, there we go. Oh, they're there. They're in twice in mine anyway. Other than that, it's just business as usual. Please do continue to pray for Israel. In the meantime, let's sing another song. I think we're in the big book, so if you'd like to take a turn there. We'll see if Whiter Than Snow for the next one. Hymn number 56. Number 55 is when the row is called up yonder, and number 56 is when we all get to heaven. So let's make a joyful noise for number 56 in the big book, and we all get to heaven.
In my mansions, bright and blessed.
Amen. That I see a request for number 12.
Yes.
Number 12 in the big books. For all faithful Psalms, we sing Blessed Redeemer. It's been a while since we sung this one. It's a good old. And then you get the rest of your vocal cords for 10 or 15 months. Joshua chapter 9. And I'd like to bring you a few thoughts on the subject of always checking with God. Always checking with God. I'm not quite sure how many verses of this we're going to read, but we're going to read a bit of it. So settle back and make yourselves comfortable. And what was it? Was it Jack and Rory they used to say? Then I'll begin. Somebody used to say that on TV, some kind of show or a camera. That's many, many moons ago. Joshua chapter 9, always check with God. The word of God says, and it came to pass when all the kings which were on this side Jordan, in the hills and in the valleys, and in all the coasts of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. This was as the children of Israel go into the promised land. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work wilily, and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles, old and rent, and bound up, and old shoes, and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and mouldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him, and to the men of Israel, "We be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us." And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, "Peradventure you dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you?" And they said unto Joshua, "We are thy servants." And Joshua said unto them, "Who are you, and from whence come ye?" And they said unto him, "From a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God, for we have heard the fame of him, and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon king of Heshbon, and to Og king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, Take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, We are your servants, therefore now make ye a league with us. This our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry and it is mouldy. And these bottles of wine which were filled were new, and behold, they be rent. And these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live, and the princes of the congregation swear unto them. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days after they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors, and that they dwelt among them. And the children of Israel journeyed and came unto their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon and Chapharah, and Beeroth and Kirjath-Jearim. And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. And all the congregation murmured against the princes. All the princes said unto the congregation, "We have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. Now therefore we may not touch them. This we will do to them. We will even let them live, lest wrath be upon us, because of the oath which we swear unto them." And the princes said unto them, "Let them live, but let them be hewers of wood and drawers of water unto all the congregation, as the princes had promised them." And Joshua called for them, and he spake unto them, saying, "Wherefore have ye beguiled us, saying, We are very far from you, when ye dwell among us? Now therefore ye are cursed, and there shall none of you be freed from being bondmen and hewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God." And they answered Joshua and said, "Because it was certainly told thy servants how that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land before you. Therefore we were sore afraid of our lives because of you, and have done this thing. And now behold, we are in thine hand, as it seemeth good and right unto thee to do unto us do." And so did he unto them, and delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel, that they slew them not. And Joshua made them that day hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation, and for the altar of the Lord, even unto this day, in the place which he should choose. Amen. You could probably guess which verse we're taking for our text this evening. It's verse number 14. The important part being the second part after the comma, which says, and they ask not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray, and then let's continue. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this opportunity to be in your house. For, Lord, for the roof over our heads, for the heat in the walls, and for the fellowship within them, Lord. I pray you this evening that you would be one of our number, that you would speak to each one of us, Lord, that you would give us our daily bread. For our brothers and sisters across the world, I pray exactly the same, Lord. Give us this day our daily bread, what it is that we need. If it's a chastening, well then, pull us up short, Lord. If it's a comforting, I pray you your arms around us. If it's support, Lord, I pray your arms underneath us, carrying us, Lord. Lord, whatever it is that we need, I pray that you would supply them this night. Please, I pray you, Father, continue to oppose those that hate you and your people. And I pray you, Lord, please, that you would bless those that love you and your people. Please hinder evil at every turn. And please, Lord, even in these dark last of the last days, I pray for our lights to so shine before people that men may see our good works and give you the glory. Thank you for all your many helps, most importantly for your Son, Christ Jesus, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and your word, Lord. And we ask all these things in your Son's name, according to your will. Amen. Amen. Before we get to these our particular verse this evening, I need to give you a little bit of background. I'm not sure which service it was. It might have been this time last week that we spoke about Jericho and Rahab the harlot and the great change in her circumstances whenever she trusted in the Lord. She went from being an enemy combatant and to being inducted into the very line of King David. I think a great-great-great-grandmother or something like that, simply because she trusted in God. What has actually happened at this point is something like this. There's a tribe or two of the children of Israel have decided not to go into the promised land, but to stay on the Egypt side of the River Jordan. However, Joshua has said to them, you'll send your fighting men over, because there is a land to subdue. And one of the first battles that these men had was in Jericho. And it was marvelous. It was supernatural. They marched around the city in perfect quiet once every day for the first 6 days of a week. And on the seventh day of the week, they marched around it seven times. Can you just imagine hundreds of thousands of men marching, sending vibrations through the ground, or indeed just obeying God. And then, whenever they blew the trumpets, they were to let out a great shout, and the walls would fall down. Amazing stuff. Crazy stuff. But whenever you're walking with God and doing what God wants you to do, you get crazy becomes normal. Crazy good becomes normal. And so everyone was killed in the place, except for everybody that the Lord honored in the home of Rahab the harlot, whose house happened to be in the walls, the one part of the wall that never fell down when all the rest of the walls fell down. This is what God said. Completely surround the city, and whenever the wall falls down in front of you, run into the town and kill everybody. That's what they said, that's what happened, and everybody except Rahab and her family and her house were spared. The house with the wee bit of the scarlet rope down the wall. Can you imagine that? Like so many times in the Old Testament, the Lord said, I just need you to turn up. I'm going to do all the heavy lifting. On at least one occasion, the Lord God killed every single person in the foreign army and the enemy army. One other occasion, the Lord chased them all out. He made sounds come at them in the night, and they all ran away and left the tents and thought the enemy was among them. And a city was spared. I think it was a handful of leprous men. It was about three or four leprous men went out, and they were eating the stuff in the tents of the enemy. And they said, you know what? We've had plenty to eat. I'm starting to feel a little bit bad for the folks in the town. This was previous to this. And so they went back and showed what God had done. You know, when God starts doing miracles, we must be doing rightly by God. And so they came to the city of Ai. Nothing to do with artificial intelligence. They actually used real intelligence back in the Bible. They spoke to God. And they said, God has certainly given us this place. And they went in. Everybody thought everything was hunky-dory. They just went in and they fought against the men of Ai, and they got chased. 36 men lost their lives. That's 36 families. What in the world? Because they didn't check with God. For if they had checked with God, they would have found out that one of their number, one man, ruined 36 families. They were told not to touch anything, not to take anything in Jericho, destroy it utterly. One man saw a goodly Babylonian garment, and I think it was 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold worth 50 shekels. And he hid it in his tent. And because that one man had disobeyed God, he brought their defeat in battle at the hands of the people of Ai. And he brought about the deaths of 36 men. May even have left their wives and families destitute. I am sure their brethren would have looked after them, but I tell you what, that's a big deal to lose a parent. It all came down to a bit of the drawing of lots, and they found a bloke called Achan. It was Achan that lifted the stuff, and he was told explicitly by God not to touch it. That whole city was given almost like a tithe to God. Doesn't belong to man, belongs to God, everything destroyed. And so he was put to death. And it went something like this. Said, Achan, what did you do? Told him what he did. And he said, I have sinned against the Lord. Maybe he was hoping for some sort of mercy or forgiveness. But his actions had already caused God's blessing to be removed. Those 36 men lost their lives. And he was stoned to death. And he was buried under a pile of stones for his body. And then he went out again. And they ambushed the men coming out of Ai, and they set it on fire, and they won a great battle. Because they did it God's way. God said, go and do it. And so, fresh out, looking for the next contender, two great victories. Wee bit of a hump and a bump there when we didn't consult with God. Let's go on. So, as they motor on through the promised land, and God said he wouldn't destroy everyone out of the promised land, but that he, otherwise the whole place would go destitute. He would give them the victory over all the peoples of the land as they came upon them. So I just want to read the names of the kings here again. Well, the kings of Lebanon and the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites heard all about this. And they were going to gang up together and defeat Israel. You need to know whether it's one man or whether it's 50 men. If God's not on your side, you're going to lose. But if God is on your side, more importantly, you are on God's side, you will win. And they lost. Kings of Gibeon, instead of using their swords, they used their heads. And they made themselves out to be from a faraway country. And you read it there, they described themselves three or four times with clothes, with their jeans had their knees out, and their boots were all scuffed, and their shirts were all, you know, the way your shirts go grey around the collars when you're wearing them for too long. And they probably needed a good bath and a wash, something like that. And all the food in their backpacks was gone off. And by the way, You're talking about when bread goes moldy in Bible times, it was maybe a few days old, maybe a week old. It's not like bread now, and your white bread will last you nearly for what, 2 or 3 weeks before it maybe starts to go hard. But so they made it seem like they were from far away, not even in the promised land. They said, we're from far away and we've heard about the great things that God does, and we want to make a league with you, a truce with you, that we will be your servants. And of course, the first thing that Joshua and all his men did was get down on their hands and knees and say, Lord, what should we do with these men? What decision should we take? That actually doesn't appear in the Bible. The Bible says they asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord, because there's nothing hidden from God. Well, even the things that are done in the darkness of night, the Bible says many is a time the darkest of night is like the brightest day as far as God's concerned. And they were the next on the list of people who were going to be utterly wiped out to make way for the children of Israel. But because they had made a truce with them, they honoured their truce, and these people became their servants. But if you were to read on from there, you will find out that they were a bother and a trouble to the children of Israel. And so, as it goes on, they travel a few days and they find these people. And they said, you're our neighbours. But they'd already made a truce. And forby the children of Israel being fearsome warriors, there was one other thing they did. And that was they kept their word. It's always worth remembering. And so they made them their servants. And they gathered water and they cut wood for the congregation. In other words, for the priesthood, for the Levites. And that was to be their job in perpetuity. However, if they'd checked with the Lord first, they wouldn't have had that problem. And that is a problem that many men in power in the Bible suffered from. Maybe not in their initial phases. I think Joshua was still learning here. And even though the Lord said that he would talk to him as a friend the same way that he spoke to Moses, Joshua still had to learn that he was still only a servant and God was the God of gods. And he could see beyond just to the corner. God could see around the corner. He should have checked with the Lord. And we ought to remember that. Does anyone remember how Saul, the tallest, biggest, burliest, best looking king of Israel, the very first one, he started to slip when he became jealous. Instead of saying, Lord, is this young man David going to be my successor? He did his best to kill him because he wanted to hold on to the power and the glory and the riches and the armies that the Lord had loaned to him for a little while. David, as he went on, instead of asking God, God, should I really be lying in the bed? Now let's be honest. No one should ever really be lying in their bed. But should I be lying in my bed when my soldiers are all out fighting for the country? What do you think the answer would be? It would be no. But no one ever asks God, well, hardly anyone ever asks God, God, what about this sin I'm committing? Should I really be doing it? Hardly anyone ever asks God that. It takes a real man or a real person of character to say to God, God, I know I'm a sinner and I'm having difficulty with this sin and I need you to tip the scales in my heart to make me not sin or do something else. And of course we know that that pretty much brought about the downfall and the splitting up of the children of Israel into the nation of Judah and the nation of Israel. David went and committed adultery with the wife of one of his soldiers, had the soldier killed, married the wife, of course the child of adultery, he died. And didn't mention he murdered the soldier. Things didn't go well for him after that. He had a lot of strife in his family. So, it always pays to ask God, even if it seems the most simple, straightforward thing. It always pays to check with God. Do you think even Solomon? What's the title of Solomon? What was Solomon? Does anybody know what Solomon's defining attribute was supposed to be? He was supposed to be the wisest man that ever lived. He was supposed to have great insights into the way our minds work. And combining that with a walk with God and understanding that everything always works better whenever you walk with God. That seems pretty straightforward. What did Solomon do? He married 1,000 wives and concubines. And he had peace in every side and more money than he could shake a stick at. But in an effort to please many of his wives, he started worshipping false gods. I think he even sacrificed children in fire. And at no point did the wisest man in the world ever say, Lord, should I be sacrificing my children in the fire to the gods of Ashtaroth or whatever these other gods are? Should I be sacrificing? You never hear that. Should I be committing adultery? You never hear that. Should I be looking to kill my successor, a younger, more popular man than me? Should I send armies out after him, Lord, to kill him? The man that's blessed by you, the apple of your eye. Should I be doing that? You don't get that. And yet, smartest, strongest, most blessed people in the history of the children of Israel did those things. You need to understand that it doesn't matter about your education or your muscle power. And it doesn't matter about your good looks. In fact, I want to... Norman read a wee verse from 1 Corinthians 13 a while back. And I want to show you something. First three verses of 1 Corinthians 13. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and the angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In other words, it's just noise. And though I have the gift of all prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, doesn't amount to anything. I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. If you don't have the love of God in your heart, if you are not walking with the Lord, the things that you do and the things that you aspire for, the talents that you were born with, and the deeds, the abilities that you have, don't mean anything. We should always check with God before we set out on a course of action. Might not do it right away, but we should do it. One of the things about being a Christian is that you don't have to guess what God is going to ask you to do. You don't. Lord, I was thinking about stealing that car, but I'm just not sure. What do you think about it? It's one of the commandments, isn't it? What is it? Thou shalt not steal. Or Lord, that guy there, he rubs me up the wrong way, and he always gives me the side eye when I'm walking past. Lord, I'm considering going and sticking a knife in him when he's not looking. What do you think, Lord? And the Lord said, look, even lost people know, thou shalt not kill. Or Lord, getting up at whatever, 9 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning to go to church, that's too much bother. I want to worship the devil because he never has me do anything that's inconvenient. I can just do whatever I feel like. The Lord says, come on, the Bible says thou shalt have no other gods before you. It's me. It says, I'm a jealous God, and I'm not going to let stuff like that stand. You will feel the pinch. Does anyone ever hear a doctor say, I'm going to give you an injection, this is going to pinch a bit? It never pinches just a bit. It always hurts a lot if they say it's going to pinch. And it will. There are some things we don't have to ask because they're in the Bible. You don't have to check with God about lying, about stealing, about killing people, about having physical relationships with people of the opposite sex that you're not married to. You don't have to ask God about worshipping the devil or doing yoga or worshipping the Hindu gods or the Muslim gods or whatever. You don't have to ask about that because they are in the Bible. But do you know, in the heat of the moment, whenever you're dealing with 15 different things, and someone comes up and asks you something, I really need to know where we should go from here. And you're thinking, well, I'm dealing with that, and I'm dealing with that, and I'm dealing with that. And that sounds pretty much okay. We'll go for that. Those are the times that you need to check with God. Or if you're starting out in a business venture, Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And that is literally for anything that will join you to another person. That should be paramount. Most importantly, if you're saved, you shouldn't be yoking up with unsaved people. If you're going, forming a partnership, you shouldn't be forming a partnership and putting your name on anything that is associated to an unsaved person, and I'm going to tell you why. Because a saved person will be honourable, will be truthful, will be dependable, will keep their word. And do you know why? Because God's watching. God remembers every thought of your heart, every word that you speak, every deed that you do is recorded. And as a Christian, you would know that, and you would always want to make sure that the things that you do are good and proper in the sight of God. But a lost man only has his own thoughts and feelings to guide him. And they will guide him until there is some form of profit that that lost man can have, and then he will tear up all of his morals to get the immediate profit and leave you high and dry. It's happened to me on at least one or two occasions. I know it has happened to other people. But these are the reasons that God says you should ask counsel at the mouth of God. Even if it means just getting down on your hands and knees and switching the TV off and the radio off and just having a time of prayer with God. Whenever all the other distractions are gone and you can just say, well, do you know what, Lord? I'm thinking about this. What do you reckon? I don't know if you've ever gotten to a point in your prayers where you've gotten everything off your mind and it's almost like God's looking at you and he's saying, is there anything else? And you say to God, you know what, God? I'm just going to sit here for a wee while in your presence. I'm going to wait and see what thoughts you sent my way. What teachings you sent my way. Because the Bible did say, did we not read this morning about the Comforter that would teach us all things and bring all things to our remembrance? And if you honour God with a little bit of time, your time, that would normally be spent on something else, you can be sure God is going to honour you back, and he will bring scripture verses, or he'll bring some of these magnificent sermons to your recollection again, and he will say, this is what I think. This is what I know will work. How does that fit in with your plans? And you might say, well, God, you know what? That fits perfectly in with my plans. Or you might be saying, well, you know, Fred, he doesn't think like that. He's a bit more cutthroat and more profit-orientated. Well, you know what the Bible says about love and money? It says it's the root of all evil. How can two walk together except to be agreed? You don't have to ask God about that. That's in the Bible. But you may have to go into God's presence and ask for a bit of clarification. Is it a car you're going to buy? Is it a place that you're moving to? A house that you will buy? A business you're going to invest in? Are you going to sign, be a guarantor for somebody? I'm going to tell you something, friends. I did it for a man once, and I smarted for it, and I will never do it again. And then shortly afterwards, I came across a verse of scripture that says, never, ever be a guarantor for somebody else. You will pay for it. And I did. And I'm sure you may have come across instances like that in your own life. Do what God says. You will end up with a life with much less drama in it. And I don't know about you, but there is enough drama going on out in the world today. Most of it fabricated to keep some drama queen entertained. I can certainly be doing with less of it. Not more, but I'm not saying Monica is the drama queen. Don't get me wrong. But there are people that live for stirring the pot and causing bother. And just seeing the floats to the top. Always check with God. Always check with God. Should I go to church today, God? And God will say, remember that Egypt that I have at the front of Bethel? And he said, he was preaching about Hebrews the other day, which said that you're not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Oh, right, God, I see what you mean. I sound a bit like Father Ted whenever I'm talking there. Or, should I put money on the plate, Lord? Because the bills are due, and I was thinking of buying a new computer game, or I have to change the tires in the car. And the Lord said, at the start of every week, we should put into the plate accordingly as the Lord has profited us. If you honour God, He will honour you. I remember I used to turn up at church at about 3 minutes past seven on a Wednesday evening. And that was because I used to watch Star Trek until 10 to 7. And I used to tear down the road like James Bond. And I'd be peeling in sometimes in there just as the music on the first song started. But I had to see Star Trek. And it came to the point where I thought, you know what, Lord? I'm missing out on that little part of the service. You know, the wee bit of fellowship you have beforehand, the wee bit of back and forth. Maybe something that somebody says would be a prayer. You'll be praying for that for me. I was missing out on that. And I remember praying about it. And the Lord said, Mark, you have 2 video recorders under your TV. Why don't you just hit the record button at 6 o'clock, I think it was BBC Two, and you can watch it when you come home. You will not be in danger of taking somebody's life as you tear down the jail carriageway. You will enjoy 10 or 15 minutes of fellowship with the folks in the church and get to say hello. And you will enjoy the service. And I did that. And guess what? The Lord was absolutely right. When you seek counsel at the mouth of the Lord, no matter what your situation, He will never steer you wrong. And it will put you in a much better position for everything that you ask for His advice on. That is a guarantee. We spoke this morning about that fella Eddie that used to bounce off me and I used to bounce off him. And I said to the Lord, why is that, Lord? It's always so contentious between us. Remember I told you? The Lord said, he's just like you, Mark. He's as sarcastic as all get out. Be nice to him. No, really, you only have to be nice to him for a minute. He'll be your friend forever. And that's exactly what happened. Ask God. I remember the pastor up here 20 years ago saying, whenever I go to the wardrobe in the morning, I even ask God what clothes I should wear. I don't do that every morning. But some mornings when I'm doing church visits, jeans and a t-shirt might be more appropriate than a shirt and a pair of sports trousers, a pair of chinos, and a pair of polished shoes. But it pays to ask them. That doesn't mean you're weak-willed. That doesn't mean that you're a mindless Christian robot that can only do anything after hours of prayer and chapters of Bible reading. It means you have faith in the God that created everything and knows what's coming around the corner in your life and my life. And you're just saying, Lord, I don't want to live life like everybody else. I want all the cheat codes. I am going to come to you so that I don't step on a landmine or I don't fall into a punji pit because I wasn't paying attention or didn't ask for the right directions. Check with God. He knows what's coming round the corner right now and tomorrow and the next day and the next day up until the end of your life and more than that. He loves each one of us enough to share that with us and to keep us right and straight. The verses that Will was reading, my bathroom Bible studies. They that wait upon the Lord, in other words, listen to what God says, shall renew their strength. Instead of getting worn out and tired of all the nonsense and drivel that people fire your way and just saying, have it your way, you'll renew your strength and you'll contend with them one more day. You'll mount up with wings as eagles. A lot of stuff just won't bother you anymore. You'll be looking down on it as like an eagle as it soars over the top past it. You shall run and not be weary and walk and not faint. Just be able to keep going through God. It's always through God. So ask him. I was reading another little verse in James chapter 1. The same God that gave Solomon a tiny, tiny flake of his wisdom is the same God that will give you a tiny flake of his wisdom. He promised us, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth liberally to all men and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. It's all that it takes. Check with God. I'm not going to prank you. He's not Loki, that TV series that was out. He's not the trickster God. He's not the prankster. He's not the mask. You remember that old show from many years ago? The mask that gave these people the powers of the prankster God. He loves us. He wants the best for us. And he demonstrated that in the giving of his son's life on the cross of Calvary to save our souls and our lives. So check with him and never steer you wrong. God bless you. Thank you for your good attention, folks. Amen. Mrs. Bradfield had a pick for us this evening. I think it's in the music. It's in the music machines, isn't it? Hymn number 252. This will be our closing hymn this evening. It's called Whiter Than Snow. It may not seem familiar from the title, but once you hear a wee bit of the introduction, I reckon you'll remember it and you'll be able to sing it good and loud. Let's stand as we sing and close out the service.
Oh.
rise and you'll be dismissed with a wee prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for our time in your house this day. I pray you, Lord, through this and our personal Bible readings and our time in prayer with you, that you would outfit us, Lord, and prepare us to meet the world in the coming days and weeks and months and years. Thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord, and for the promises of all that you will do for us. I pray you, Lord, that you would continue to work in people's hearts and lives. Please save souls. Please edify the saints. Please watch over us and guard us, Lord, and protect us. And use us, Lord. Please don't be done with us. Day by day, until it's time to go home. We love you and thank you, Father. And we ask all these things as well as for our private prayer requests for Israel and for all the nonsense that's going on in the world, Lord. We ask for it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Folks, we are dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit. Amen.